Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery. With your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA
106.5
FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House
of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Mr. Dave Martino.
Present.
I'm present. Here. Present. Present. I want presents. It's a presents. Month early, but I
it's
want
close.
Presents. It's close. Yeah. You know, shopping, fighting all the people at all these sales and stuff going
that's
on.
That's right.
Yeah. That's why you, that's really why no. you were in these martial art classes.
That's right. So and, I can fight my way through the crowds.
Yeah. Yeah. You go out. Hunting for food and groceries and all that stuff like that. And
that's know. Right.
You didn't have to fly, did you, when you were going for that last training or anything? You know,
No. It's yeah. I just drove. It's in the area.
Oh, good, good. Because that's you know, every day I turn on the news and there's another person freaking out on the plane, like that lady that you know this morning here. It's just a lady gets out on the plane and she goes down the aisle and she just squats, pulls down her pants and goes to the bathroom on the aisle, right? Like, oh, well, okay. Mm. Yeah, another good day. And then the other yeah. day, the one lady, they take off, and then she starts crawling across all the tops of the chairs. Could you imagine sitting in your chair and someone's crawling? And she's screaming out that she's been kidnapped or something weird, right? And you're thinking, this is a bad movie. And they get then they get her down. And then all of a sudden, another lady at the end of the aisle gets up and starts screaming out that it's Satan, right?
Oh.
Satan's going to take down the plane. Satan's after every, all 200 of us on here, and we all got to get down and pray because she's Satan. She's you know, possessed. Like, wow. Mm. You know, you don't need movies anymore.
No. just don't need the in-flight movie.
No, the entertainment is on there. Board. You know, but I was just thinking, could you imagine you're the person that waiting at the other end, the other city to pick up one of those people?
Oh, no.
How was your flight? Hi, dear. How was your flight? Oh, it's okay. Why are they cuffing you and taking you away? Well, I kind of I kind of got a little lost, you know. Crazy. Anyway, speaking of wild and crazy people. Returning guest today. And, you know, he's relaunched a book, an award-winning book, and he's got new music out. So he's a very busy guy, unlike you. Dave.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
People functioning in this world.
That's right.
You know, trying to do something good for other people, not just, you know, peeing on flights like you.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't supposed to tell people that.
No.
Well, we've got Enzondi. Thank you for being here.
You guys, Al and Dave. Oh my God. You guys are hilarious. I'm just crawling on top of the airplane seats. Wow. I'm just happy to be here. And thanks for having me. It's always a gas, Alan, Dave, bringing me brighter days. Thank you.
Well, that's the whole idea. You kind of have to laugh at this. Yeah, you have to laugh because here we are. We're trying to do whatever, you know, you're out there and it's a lot of work doing what you do, you know, the writing and music and just everything that, and you're trying to do stuff in life and get ahead and make an effort. And there's all these weird things going on around us. So you just have to laugh.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there is so much going on. And yeah, you do have to laugh because if you don't laugh at yourself and all the crazy stuff, you know, that happens, you know, it can be really tense. So you got to laugh at yourself. And I'm laughing at myself all the time. Like just the other day when I was doing some wind sprints right here in South Pasadena in California, doing wind sprints and just took a nice little tumble. I never fall in the middle of the intersection. Everyone saw me. I bounced right back up on my arm that I just tore my deltoid muscle and just ran around the corner, you know, and just laughed to myself because you got to do that.
Yeah.
You can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't take it too serious, you know, or you'll end up on a plane crawling
that's
across.
Insane, that's insane, I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. You'll be just, you know, it'll be over before you know it. This sounds like it could fit in your story almost. Like it's the end of the world, you know, and stuff like that. It could be a real.
Do you hear that scribbling noise? That's me writing it down.
Yeah, I guess it really, I mean, it the way the world's been the last 10 years, for sure, you can say that there's so many, the way people are so off the rocker sometimes, you can get pretty wild in a book, I guess, in science fiction and stuff, in a sense, because it's not like people will say, well, no one would ever do that, because they do.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, every day you hear something really just crazy, you know, that's a lot of it. People always ask me, what do you get your inspiration from life, how bananas, you know, things are, and all these different stories that I hear, and you know, things I read in the paper, or not in the paper, things I read online, you know, because it's a lot of source material, I tell you.
Well, when you get someone coming up asking you that question, you can say, well, it's good people like you that inspire me. And they won't even catch it.
Now you reminded me of that T-shirt a lot of writers wear. You know, be careful how you treat me. You might end up in my book.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it won't be a good part.
And it won't be a good part.
So listen. So on your Orwar Mosaic, now that one is being relaunched, new publisher and all that stuff. But this was like a Bram Stoker winner.
Yeah.
And when you have that happen, do you feel a lot of pressure then on whatever you do to follow up now?
I wish I could say no, but absolutely. I think that's why it's taking me so long to finish the book that I'm writing now, my upcoming novel. I just, you know, you really shouldn't put that kind of pressure on yourself, but I think it's just was with me. It was just automatic. Like, you just want to, you win that award, and first of all, I've just blown away, and I will never stop thinking, you know, StokerCon and horror, the Horror Writers Association, for bestowing me with such a prestigious award. But it's like, now what do I do, you know? And I'm just trying to at least, you know, level the game and learn more and read more and study more so that, you know, I'm consistent and not the one-hit wonder kind of thing, you know, so.
Yeah, but that in itself, I guess that just, but it puts you in a place where you kind of, you're aware of it now. You're not just doing it. You have to think about how people are going to take you from now on. You know, I would think it would, I feel like it would put on some pressure. You know? I mean, I win Stoker Awards, but they're Stroker Awards, but they.
Did I hear you correctly?
But I never feel the. Yeah, but I never feel the pressure.
Wait, know? What? So many layers to that. I'm not even going there. That's good.
Well, you do what you have to, right? You know, whatever you can do. Yeah. So listen. So what is it that you, when you wrote this book originally, Did you have an intention or a meaning or some sort of thing that you wanted people to get out of the book, or was it just a pure entertainment book?
Yeah, you know, I did want to, have like a subliminal message. I didn't want to preach too hard, but I had like the subliminal message, you know, and, like I taught school for 13 years, middle-aged kids, and I'm always trying to drop little tiny.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Easter eggs of, you know, diamonds to encourage the youth and stuff like that without preaching. So I had a lot of little things like that in the book, you know, where it wasn't really teaching or preaching, but it was like little gems that my characters learned or was told or made mistakes on. A lot of those. But, you know, for the most part, I think, I don't know, I just, maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like every writer has like something that they really want to say, you know, but they do it in the art of storytelling, you know, something that they wanted to say to life, their ideologies, or, you know, something that came to them that they feel is really important. They have to share with the world. They just do it in the art of storytelling. So I did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. You know, I always want people just not to pee on the aisle in plane. I'm like, come on, it's nasty. I walk around that. I mean, God. But this is a dark story that you've written. Is there a reason that is there a reason you go that way? Is there like having a horror or that kind of a novel?
You know, you start writing a story and you just put it down. And I think I know that after studying and reading tons of books in your genre and watching tons of television in the different, you know, genre specific areas that you're interested in, you know, you have this entire encyclopedia of things in your mind. And so if you just sit down and just start writing and just trust that whole process, of course you got to clean it up and edit it and that kind of thing. But, you know, things just unfold based on all the stuff that you've experienced. And it's the same thing. I didn't really sit down and say, I'm going to write a book about, you know, with the subtext about trafficking children. It just kind of evolved as the story evolved. You know, I wanted to write, my first book took place in Hawaii with a Hawaiian girl and non-African-American girl. And I wanted this book to focus on the African-American culture or the African culture or the Black culture. So I made it in Ghana, and it just kind of unfolded. You know, what are some of the things that are happening in Ghana? You know, what are some of the things that are happening in this culture? It came up, you know, with the human trafficking. And it might have been just that I had watched a police show, I don't know, the week before or something. I started writing it, and that police show had human trafficking in it. I can't even remember. I have no idea. But, you know, it is what it is.
How do you get into the heads of your characters, the people that you write, and how to make them sound and feel real?
So that, I love that question. And a lot of times they get in my head, and I know that sounds Nirvana-ish, but what happens is, you know, a lot of times when I'm driving, you know, or on a long drive, which is pretty much every day, or I sit in the park, which is at least 3 days a week, you know, I turn the radio off when I'm driving, and I go in my head what the character is going through. And sometimes I'll say, no, that my character wouldn't do that. Sometimes it's just like a epiphany. I'm like, oh my God, that's the person who killed so-and-so. That's the person who did it. And I just kind of find the character, like whatever character it is, if it's my main character or a side character or an antagonist. And I start in my mind with this type of person, who are they? What do they do? What would they say? How would they react? All the way sometimes down to, you know, are they a Prada girl or, you know, or a cowboy boot guy, you know? And if they're a cowboy boot guy, then they must drive a truck. And if they drive a truck and they're a cowboy boot guy, then he probably, you know, chews snuff. And if he chews snuff, you know, he probably listens to country music. If he listens to country music, then he would wear a denim jacket, you know. And then all of that stuff, just kind of his language and what he says and how he looks at stuff would spill out differently from, you know, a character that was brought up in, you know, or lived in Madison on Madison Avenue or lived, you know, or somewhere in Midtown Manhattan, you know, who grandmother, you know, had a fur factory. So all those different things, depending on who my character is and where my character came from, or the demographic of my character, helps me mold who that person is and what they would say. You know, when I started out writing, and I hadn't even written my first 100,000 words, you know, I had a character. I had two different characters. I had one that was a Jamaican character, and I had them speaking. I tried to write the way they spoke. Yeah, man, we over here with some teams, you know. Let's go on and get that, you know, chuh. And my critique group was like, this is annoying. This is so annoying. And so I learned that, you know, with the different dialects, you got to tone it down a little bit. And then I had a British character, and you know, I'm not a Brit, so, you know, I was so off and so wrong with how I had the character speaking, and that took the person out of the story. So I also had to learn to really, you know, write a character that felt real and felt true, and, you know, not too many slang words, not too many, you know, dialects that are too weird or different that takes you off page. So it was a whole learning process. It took me about 10, 11 years to get like that.
Oh, I imagine, you know, trying to be a learn a character like a transsexual truck driver listening to Kid Rock while drinking Bud Light.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes. He would talk a certain way. He would talk a certain way. Even though he's a truck driver, he would talk a certain way. That's funny.
You know, it's funny. In the same vein, I know you've done some acting. Is it kind of like, you know, I don't know if the term method acting is the right term, but is it kind of like acting for you in a way to create these characters?
Yeah. I never thought of it that way. Yes. Because what you try to do is, you know, you embrace whatever that experience is that you've ever had before or that you feel that that character needs in order to, you know, make them come alive. So, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah.
And so it's to me, but I guess when you do something like this and you, and you're kind of being these character stuff, you kind of live through the character in a sense. Like when you're, you drive a lot, then why do you drive a lot?
So my day job, which helped sustain me, when I quit teaching, was as a stand-in, and a stand-in is a stand-in actor. So I worked for TV and film, and I'm hired to basically be more or less a rehearsal actor. So instead of the actual actor standing there for 13 hours while they set up the lights, practice the camera moves, get the microphones right and all that kind of stuff, they have a stand-in. And so the actor just really comes in, does the initial rehearsal to show the crew what they're doing. They go sit down, and then when it's time to shoot the actual film, then they go on, they shoot the film, and then they go sit down, and we go on. So we stand there when they do all of the different modifications or the setup, you know, for the shot. So in being a stand-in, we are on a lot of different locations, not always in the studio. So I'm always driving, you know. So I might be driving 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away, 40 minutes away, or 10 minutes away. So I'm always driving. And when I'm driving, you know, I'm in depth with the story, I'll turn the radio off and just let my mind, you know, sing to me.
But those voices, those characters in your head don't tell you where to drive.
No.
No. No, good. I mean, you know, that's important. You don't want to get carried away. You'll end up, who knows where you'll end up flying to the airport.
What are you doing? Turn left, turn left. No, yeah, turn right. No.
No, that's right. But you must live through those characters in a sense. You know what I mean? You got to put yourself into that place and what it would be like to be trafficked or what it would be like to be in different situations that you're writing about to make it real and stuff. Do you think that going through a process of writing a book changes you as a person?
Okay, I'm going to answer that in two parts. The latter part, yes, it does change you. And the prior to that, I don't necessarily live through the character that way. It's what I've been exposed to. So like if I read a lot about a certain character, it stays in the back of my mind. Or I saw that type of character on TV, or I've you know, grown up with that kind of character. I've been exposed to that type of character at work, or, you know, family member. Like I just met a family member at a funeral about 3 weeks ago. And I came up with I don't even know if this word exists. I made it up myself. After calling her a habitual liar, and my cousin was like, she's not a liar. She just likes to play games. I'm like, she's a hyperbolist. She's a hyperbolist. And she, you know, she had me and my older aunts going and telling us all these stories. And we believed her because, you know, why wouldn't we not believe her? And come to find out, it was like all exaggerated, gross exaggerations, you know. So she's going in my book somehow. I want that kind of character, you know, that I was exposed to. I want that kind of character that just you has everyone going and just, oh my God, it's just a total, you know, total liar, you know, but it's not a liar. Like it's like they're a storyteller, you know, they're a storyteller and they make you believe what happened to them was real. And you find out they're out of their minds. You know, she even named, I think her daughters have her name. She has three daughters and all three of them have her same name. I'm like, oh my God, I got to use this person as a character. I just changed her name. Yeah.
Does she fly in planes a lot?
That might have been her. if you heard the story somewhere, it might have been her who told them that story that you read or saw. It wasn't real at all.
Well, speaking of that, do you hear your characters? You know, is that how you create dialogue? Do you have to speak it out loud? We have, you know, different writers that we speak to have different different ways of creating their dialogue. How do you do it?
Yeah, I hear them. I actually hear them. You know, I grew up with a woman. I was 4 years old when she took me in. So she was 70 when she took me in, and she raised me, and she was my grandmother. And I hear that whenever I have, no matter if the character's black or white, whoever, Asian or whatever, if it's an older character, I hear my grandmother's voice, that southern, you know, motherly grandmother. Boy, what you ain't eat nothing. Come on over here and let me put some meat on you, boy. You know, all of that. I just hear that. I hear that voice, you know. And so that character is usually always in my book, some type of grandmotherly nana type character, you know, is all with that. Probably most people have had in their family at some point or another, you know, that makes the apple pies and all that kind of stuff. So I hear that voice. I hear that voice in my head. Yes. Yeah.
That's me making the pie. Grandma.
Grandma Al.
I went to Chicago, with my girlfriend, and we stayed at her brother's house, and her brother, I don't know, he's probably, I don't know, 40, 42, something like that. And he is the most hospitable host that I've ever been with. I mean, when he picked us up from the airport, I sat in the car in the back seat and he handed me a Gatorade Zero. How in the heck do you know I drink that? You know, so the bathroom, he had the exact Irish Spring soap that I like to use. He had my hair stuff in the morning. He cooked me pancakes with eggs, with cheese, just how I like it. And he cooked the whole Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I was like, man, you're like an old black lady. I love the old Southern black lady. You know, he's Jewish, you know, so it was really funny. He thought that was funny. So, yeah.
He's probably stalking you. He's probably outside your place taking pictures and knows everything you use and do and say. He's on it. You know, he's watching. He's like Mission Impossible.
Oh, my God.
Here, you know, it's all over. So now this has influenced you, I guess, in a way, to start writing music and putting, releasing songs. Like, it's related to your characters, I believe, in the books, right?
Yep. You know, I had, so the book I'm writing now is called New Year's Dead. And it's about a group of teenage shapeshifters that travel to parallel worlds and solve paranormal crimes. And the people that they have to emulate or, you know, take over their lives is a group of young, a rock band. And so a couple of the songs that rock band sings ended up, you know, inspiring me to write a song. I used to do music a long time ago. I did music for about 20 years and realized I sucked at it. and that's when I kind of left it behind. But and then over those 20 years, I've developed a lot of incredible relationships. So I was able to call up David Moreno, who plays drums for A Puddle of Mud. He played the drums on the track. And I was able to call up Fredro Starr, who was Moesha's boyfriend in the TV show Moesha. And he's also in a legendary group from Queens called Onyx. You know, slam, doo-doo-doo, let boys be boys. That's his song. And he got on the track with me. We used to watch True Blood together all the time. So he knew I did like a whole vampire kind of thing with the book I'm writing. By the way, they're I don't call them vampires, my characters, but they need blood to sustain life. He knew that. So he wrote a verse in my song. It's a rock song called Teenage Rockstar that kind of caters to how blood sucking the industry is and, you know, how they can suck the blood out of the teenagers and, you know, want more and more and more. So, yeah. So that song came out about a year ago. I just released the remix to it last week, along with another song that's inspired by the Joker, the most recent Joker, and it's called Freak. So, Yeah. So yeah, I'm just having a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
It's on about 300 radio, independent radio stations. Some are on the dial and some are online. And I never, ever, ever, ever thought that I would get songs on the radio. I mean, you dream of it, but this is like, wow, you know. So I'm just, you know, I'm doing my thing, man, and building a brand here. So let's go.
Yeah. Well, you'll be opening up for Cher.
I love it. I love it.
You'll be doing that next, you know.
Man, she'll be opening for you. I would love to do. Not about that, but I would love to do a song with her. How about that? Oh, a that dance song.
Yeah.
How about that,
Dave? Give her your phone. Give him her phone number. Just, you know.
I will off air. Yeah.
No, yeah. Problem. Yeah.
Are you big paranormal guy then? You know, are you into all of the paranormal as you say, vampires and stuff like that, even though you don't call them vampires, but, you know, e-humans.
So I'm the worst geek that ever lived, because most of the geeks I know every tidbit about whatever they're geeking about. You know, I'm a Spider-Man geek. But if you ask me about issue 3, da-da-da-da-da, who was the writer, this and that, I do not know. I like the story. I have hundreds of Spider-Man comic books. I'm a Cowboys geek. You know, so I love sci-fi. I love horror. You know, I've done, whenever I do classes on them, I do some speaking engagements. I have to study a lot. You know, I have a lot of notes when I speak on it. So, yes, I am a sci-fi guy. Yes, I love horror, you know, and paranormal and things of that nature. But I'm not like, so who directed this and who directed that? You know, unless it's like Alfred Hitchcock or something like that. I'm like, I don't know. So, yeah, I love all of that stuff. Love it.
Well, you've written, you know, you're just talking about writing about, you know, the metaverse, parallel worlds. What about the metaverse and parallel worlds and stuff of that nature? What pulled you to write these stories?
I don't know. I just love it. It's kind of like saying, why do you like strawberry ice cream over, you know, butter pecan? I don't know. It just tastes good. And so, you know, it's just... I just love that, and ideas come to me, and you know, it just flows. It's kind of like how you know this is what you're meant to do. You know, I've done music 20 years, no hits. You know, so I'm like, okay, that's something I like to do. It's fun, but the writing, you know, awards and nominations. Okay, this is my thing. This is what I really love to do, and you know. I don't even call it the metaverse. I call it the neuroverse, because my characters, you know, kind of like Carbon. What's it called? Carbon Copy. There was a sci-fi TV series that came out. I think it was 2 or 3 seasons. Carbon something. Where they have neural implants. So my characters have these neural implants, but I wanted to take it further. Not only, you know, can they communicate through the neural implant, like being online, but they can call each other, you know, in their mind, you know, they can go into virtual worlds in their mind. They can go to school with the implant, you know, in a virtual environment. They can do surgery, you know, all kind of stuff. And so I love that kind of world. And, there's so many different things you can do with it. And each person can have their own little recipe and have their own uniqueness. And it's just, there's enough, you know, food for everyone to eat, you know? So I just love that. So yeah, mixed in with a little bit of fear and horror, you know, not necessarily, the slasher kind of horror. But although I do have a little bit of that in my first book, but more like the horror that where, you know, you're freaking, you don't know what's going on. The fear of the unknown. I love that.
Yeah. More the suspense sort of thing. Tension.
Yeah. 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 I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Do they have planes there, and do people fly and crawl across, and is there Satan and all that in your other universe?
That's a great question. So what I've done is I've developed parallel worlds. Some worlds are twin worlds. Some worlds are parallel. In different dimensions. And in my mind, when I look at Star Trek I love Star Trek, and you know, they go to different worlds, you know, they always end up, you know, they, you know, they, you know, you know, they go to their different worlds and whatnot, and there's no problem. But I'm thinking, what if some of the worlds had different physics? So you can't necessarily go to all the different worlds and not disintegrate. You know, if they had different, completely different physics, it might be different. So that's why I have shapeshifters. I'm like, shapeshifters can go to any world, even if it has different physics, you know, they won't disintegrate. You know, the molecules are a little different. You know, so that's the reason why I came up with that idea. So some have the twin worlds may have planes, but the parallel worlds may not have planes. So like, you know, we call it hell. And in another world, one of my other worlds, a song I just finished and mixed and mastered today called On the Rocks. Well, the rocks is hell in this alternate universe, you know, so they call hell the rocks. So yeah, some things are different. Some things are the same, you know, some worlds. The president is Donald Trump, and other worlds is Tupac, you know. So I like being able to kind of do that and keep some of the similarities and make some of the differences, you know, very different. Isn't it cool? It's fun, right?
I want to be in Tupac. I mean, this is it's gotta be more fun.
I have it on my outtakes. It didn't make it into the book, but there's a scene where, you know, they're in a different world and they're talking to the character of that world. And they mention, I had Tupac, but I changed it. You know, it's not even in the book anymore, but you know, Tupac, you mean the governor? No, the hip hop artist. And they're laughing at like hip hop. No, he's a politician. So, you know, I have that kind of play with words and how different people look at. We've seen it before. I've seen it before in different types of, you know, TV shows and whatnot. Yeah. So I love doing that. It's fun.
Yeah. Messes people up. That's good. I like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So where do you see yourself going? So what's happening now? Where are you going to be 5 years from now?
That's a great question. 5 years from now, the TV series will be out. Hopefully not canceled. Give me at least 3 years on Awari Mosaic. I'm working with an executive producer of Dan Straw Productions. He brought me in as a producing partner to turn the Bram Stoker winning book, Awari Mosaic, into a TV series named after the character called Feenizo, F-E-E-N-I-X-O, Feenizo. And it's, you know, it's going to be a little bit more than we're going to divert a little bit from the novel, where it's going to be, you know, a teen drama. It's going to be full of romance, full of secrets, full of lies, and full of mystery. And of course, you know, a futuristic post-apocalyptic kind of vibe, where half the world is the real life and half the world is in the virtual reality world. And so, I feel like I'll be sitting in Video Village, you know, watching the actors and working with the directors, or, you know, just watching the directors bring this book to life and the characters to life. And, that for a fact, and hopefully by that time, I will have finally gotten a New York Times bestseller. That's like my big goal. You know, I gotta be a multiple New York Times bestseller. Let's go. I gotta get it.
Well, and of course we can tell people now I'm going to be starring in that series, right?
I don't want to do that. No. Oh, you. Yeah. Alan. Yeah. Alan, you'll be in there. You'll be the wizard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
I already got a name for you. Mushroom.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the young girl that Feeny kills. Come on.
The Wizard of British Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah, the Wizard. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was doing
well. You know, that's funny because okay, so Feeny has in the game, she's never met, you know how you can play on games and you can never meet a person, but you know, you game with them and never seen them and they have an avatar. So she's been playing this game where they solve cold cases, right? Real cold cases. They solve them in the game. The police, you know, allows them to solve these cold cases. And in the game, her partner is this, you know, 40-year-old white guy. But in real life, you know, she's a 17-year-old black girl, you know. So, yeah, you could definitely be that detective. Let's go.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Perfect. I've got it made. See? I'm a star.
Yeah.
Nobody wants.
As Dak Prescott would say, here we go.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see that, you know. They'll, you know. Well, anyway. So, okay. Well, perfect. So you've got it going on. As long as you want it, you'll get there. If you want it, you'll get there. You'll be a New York Times bestseller, and you'll have a big TV series with starring me, of course. And yeah, it's all good. So listen, are you big on social media, website, all that sort of thing or not?
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a lot. I remember my first publisher had me on about 15 different social media sites. I'm not on that many anymore. I'm on about 3 or 4 now. Only 3 that I really do on a 2 I really do on a regular basis. So anyone can find me at as my handle as Nzondi and the number 3. So N as in Nancy, Z O N D as in David, I Nzondi 3 on most of my social networking sites. And if not, you know, a lot of people know me as Ace Antonio Hall, A-C-E Antonio, like Antonio Banderas, Ace Antonio Hall. Either one of those, you just Google it, you know, and it'll pop up. If you put in Zondi, it's going to pop up my music or author. You just click one, and then it takes you to a whole, you know, web of whatever that direction is I'm doing in that genre.
Well, fantastic. You know, we're going to put all that up, too, so people can find it and find you and you know. You know, they can send you pictures, send you mail, send you letters. Say, hey, pick me. Well,
yeah, that could be very interesting.
Well,
to say the least.
It never gets old. Well, anyway. Well, we appreciate it, and I'm glad you came to talk about your book and music and everything. And what can I say? So, thank you for being here in Zondi.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Alan, Dave. Making a brighter day. Thank you.
Thanks, Nzondi.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.